Blog Talk Radio.
Your baby doesn't love you anymore. Golden days before they end, whisper secrets to the wind. They fly, send falling stars that seem to cry. Your baby doesn't want you anymore. It's over. It breaks your heart in two.
Party in the Spirit of America Party Book. Our topic tonight is Democrats collapse, they turn to the rhinos for help, and Al-Qaeda. In the words of the Patton strategy, attack, attack, attack. Do not let up on the Communist Party. That used to be the Democrat Party, now it's the Communist Party. Reduce them to a Soviet skeleton crew. Hammer them out of existence. They almost destroyed the nation. Make it a shame to be known as a Democrat. Flag-burning, baby-killing, dope-selling for taxes Democrats. The same socks party, the brainwashing party, the Klan party with new sheets, the divide-and-conquer party. DNC stands for dilatation and curettage. DNC, Le Parti della Muerte, the abortion party. And by the way, New Yorkers, you should be proud to know you are the abortion capital of the United States. You do more abortions than any other state in the Union. Look proud. Look absolutely proud. And 76% of abortions are black and Latino. And that is sad. That is really, really sad. That shows a complete failure of our culture. So the DNC is the brainwashing party, the Klan party with new sheets, the dilatation and curettage party, the party of death, Le Parti della Muerte, and the abortion party, the secret leaking party, the party that lost the Middle East and put our country into tax slavery, $18 trillion your children have to pay back. I watched a documentary today on the enslavement of Pakistanis by ruthless landlords and businessmen and whole families who borrowed a little money, like $20 or $50, went into years of slavery to pay it back. And you know what the little kids were doing? They were making bricks. Did you see that documentary? Did you see those little kids pushing the wheelbarrow full of bricks? And the landlord was having his way. He could have anything he wanted. And he enforced everything by beating his employees with rods. And that's what's going on in Pakistan. Now, if that's what they'll do to their own people, what do you think they're going to do when they take over? You know what else they do with those rods? Ask Muammar Gaddafi and Ambassador Stevens. They'll tell you what they do with those rods. The secret leaking party, the party that lost the Middle East and put our country into tax slavery, the tax junkie party, the party with communist-controlled news, ABC, always be communist, NBC, nothing but communists, CBS, the communist broadcasting party, the CNN, the communist news network, NPR, National Pravda Radio, the party that lost the Middle East and betrayed Israel. And don't think that Israel doesn't know it. And Israel is not listening to Obama. When the time comes to shut down Iran, they're going to do it. And if they got to use nukes, they will do it. Because with Israelis, based on experience from prior years, down back to the Bible, they know that there are people that want to exterminate them. And before they get exterminated, they will exterminate first. And, we'll have a meeting with the UN, and we'll have a summit and a conference, and we'll do a press release, and we'll have a prepared speech, which has been hanging on the wall for 10 years. Give me speech 27 about why Iran is no more. Yeah, you think the Israelis are going to take a hit? The only sucker country that takes the first hit is us. And you know what? If we take the first hit this time, we're not coming back. George Patton said twice in his lifetime he's seen us come back from preemptive strikes. And he didn't think at that time we could do it again. And that's when he had an army behind him that could back him up. Today, what do we have? We've got reservists who asked for a transfer from their sergeant, and the sergeant says, we can't transfer you, you have to report to this unit. And the reservist says, hold on a second, my mother wants to talk to you. That's what you got today, man. That's what you got today. You got all short little policemen. They can't take down a guy 6'5". They got... What was it? The clown cars were all of the little people used to come out of them. Little Volkswagen held 20 little people. Yep. We're in big trouble. The secret leaking party, the party that lost the Middle East and put our country into tax slavery, the tax junkie party, the party with communist-controlled news. Oh, I did this already. Yeah, the party that gave a Ukraine, they betrayed Israel. Israel, you're betrayed. Anybody that's Jewish that thinks that Obama hasn't sold them out, you know what you got to do? You come to my house. I got 2 Brooklyn Bridges I'll sell you for the price of 1. If you want a label machine, if you want to buy a Democrat label machine, I have them too. They're $10,000 each. But with every label machine that I sell you, I will give you 10,000 free racist labels. The party that gave Ukraine and Georgia back to Putin. The party that is giving Taiwan, Japan, and the Philippines to China. The party that is giving Eastern Germany back to Putin. The party of a pornowood propaganda. The party of no God, no country, no flag, no military, and no kids. The party of communist date rape drug colleges. I think I covered most of it. You know what? It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Did you see anybody mention Pearl Harbor? Did you see any tributes? Ollie North is the only guy that did it, an hour on Fox. And maybe the military channel had something, but that's it. That's it. And yet, I'm just trying to think of how many Americans died. Was it 1,700 Americans died on a sneak attack by the Japanese? The Imperial Japanese Navy? Or was it more? It was more. It was I think 2,200. 2,200. They were all military, mostly military. Sailors, mostly. And then the Muslims came, and they beat Pearl Harbor. They gave us the greatest defeat in the history of the United States. They killed 3,247 civilians. Using four planes. And they killed us with our own lack of intelligence. Killed us by closing down the home port in Staten Island. Chuck Schumer signed away the guided missile cruiser, the Normandy. You see, the politicians, as they waste the people's money, they decided they were going to build a home port in Staten Island, New York. It was called the home port. And they poured in all this money in concrete, and they built a beautiful home port in Stapleton, New York. And small business entrepreneurs all jumped on the bandwagon. And they all opened up businesses in Stapleton, New York. And it was like a revival because that was like a rundown area. And it had a renaissance. And they, because it became a home port, I think 650 sailors bought houses on Staten Island or had some sort of housing assistance on Staten Island. And what was nice about the USS Normandy, it gave you a little feeling of protection, especially right down here on Staten Island. And the USS Normandy was the sister ship of the USS Vincennes. Do you know the story of the USS Vincennes? It was in the Persian Gulf protecting an aircraft carrier. And an unidentified plane broke into airspace, that the protected airspace that they weren't allowed to be in. And the USS Vincennes commander, and probably the aircraft carrier commander, radioed the plane that they were in American airspace, Navy airspace, and they had to get out. And there was no reply. There was no answer. And so the Vincennes launched a missile to take out the unidentified plane. And there just happened to be a camera crew on board. I think, my guess, it was from PBS. And they were all high-fiving when they hit the target and the plane splashed into the water. And then as they got close to the splash site, they seen babies and they seen suitcases and baggage, and they were all heartbroken. They were sick. The whole crew was sick. And it was an Iranian airliner, and it had gone off course. I think it was flying from the Iranian mainland to Kish Island, if I remember correctly. And it was really sad. So, of course, then the propaganda went, warmongers, American warmongers are killing children. But then, you fast forward a couple of years, or three, maybe 5 or 6 years, and now you've got people hijacking airplanes, and they're crashing them into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. And they were on their way to the Congress. I know some people that wish they had gotten to the Congress. But so here's what happened. We decided we don't need, before 9-1-1, politicians, mostly Democrats, because they're the Communist Party, they decided we didn't need the home port in Stapleton. So the millions or billions of what they poured into the home port in Stapleton was wasted money. So they took the Normandy and they sent it to Virginia, and they closed the home port. So all the merchants went out of business. All of the housing went up for short sales and sales. And along comes, and Chuck Schumer signed off on it. And after it's closed a while, Hollywood, in their communist generosity, decides that they're going to rent it. The government, the Democrat Party, the Party of Death, decides they're going to rent it to Hollywood. And they're going to use it as a movie studio. This is what we're going to do. See, we're going to lose our military bases, and they're all going to be movie studios. And then we can make a movie of how we won the war against the space people. So the sad thing is, somebody told me that if had the Normandy been here in the area or docked, that they had a radar sweep on that missile cruiser of 450 miles. And they could have picked up at least the second plane coming down the river. And they could have splashed it down into the river. But they weren't here to do that. And what's really ironic, and nobody was up for the game. We had a military intelligence committee. It was chaired by Graham from Florida, who voted to burn the flag. And he was the head of the military intelligence committee. Yeah, 40 days before 9-1-1, he voted to burn the flag. As did a Senator Carlos de Jekyll Levin, who voted to burn the flag. He was on the Military Intelligence Committee. And if I can find it real quickly, I'll tell you who else was on that, the Military Intelligence Committee. Military Intelligence Committee. I went to my book, My Bible for Revolution, The Spirit of America Party, because we need a new party. Bob Graham was a flag burner. Carlos de Jekyll Levin voted to burn the flag. These people are all on the United States Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. These are the guys that are up to date on what's happening throughout the world. John D. Rockefeller from West Virginia, he voted to burn the flag. Dianne Feinstein from California, she's now the head of it, and tomorrow she's going to betray the CIA. The Party of Death, the Democrat Communist Party, is going to expose all our underground agents tomorrow in a big press conference, which will be heralded by all the communist media. Ron Wyden from Oregon, he was a flag burner. He was on that committee. Dirty Dick Durbin from Illinois, he voted to burn the flag. Evan Bay from Indiana, there's a little sneaky guy, man. He snaked out before, did not to call any attention to himself. He voted to burn the flag. Remember John Edwards from North Carolina? He voted to burn the flag. And Barbara Mikulski from Maryland, she voted to burn the flag. And they were all on the Democrat side of the Intelligence Committee, chaired by Bob Graham of Florida. I got a picture of him. I found a woman in a burqa that looked just like him, and I put it up on one of my blogs, and underneath it I put Bob Graham, captured in Iran. On the Republican side, there was Richard Selby, John Kyle, James Inhofe, Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch is no match for the Communist Party. They eat him up. He walks into the Lion's Den and asks what's for lunch. Pat Roberts from Kansas, he just got thrown out for being a rhino from Ohio. Fred Thompson and Richard Lugar. So these were the guys that were on the Intelligence Committee, and all the Democrats except Dianne Feinstein voted to burn the flag. When did they do it? 40 days before 9/11. And 125 Viet Congressmeister did the same thing 55 days before 9/11. But it passed. I'm going to jump to a tune so I can clear my throat. And let's see if I give you... Oh, this is a nice tune. This is my wedding song, but they wouldn't play it. The band didn't know it. They said, we only have more. You know, more, the greatest love. But this was the one I wanted.
Over, life fully over. dreamed was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago was you.
Isn't that beautiful? Is that a love song or what? The dream I dreamt was not denied me. Just one look and then I knew that all I longed for long ago was you. Give your wife a hug tonight. Anyway, we got some bad news from a friend that we know. And it's really sad. It was a sudden death, and they were kind of young. They were young. The wife passed away. It was a sudden heart attack, but she had shoulder pain for about 2 days, and I guess it got misdiagnosed at the emergency room. Possibly somebody screwed up. But she passed away real quick. And she's got 3 kids. The father is completely destroyed. And it's really sad. And I got flashbacks in 911, how many guys went to work. Maybe they didn't have time to kiss the wife goodbye, and that was the last they ever saw of them. And it was a horror. And like I say, we lost 3,247 people on 911. And actually, I can, when I say 3,200, they'll tell you, the politicians will tell you 2,800 in New York. But they're not counting the 200 unborn babies who died with their pro-life mothers. And I always say that they should, the families of those mothers who died with children that were to be born and bring joy into the world, that they should name those children and put them on the monument with next to their mother. Because they left with their mother to see God, and that monument should reflect that mother and child are together in heaven. And the only thing, the only consolation you can give somebody that loses the other half of the family, that's it. And those kids are devastated. And I don't know if they saw their mother die, but be horrible. It must be horrible. And this guy just retired, a young retiree. And, you know, he's looking forward to a nice retirement. And half of his family is, half of his life is gone. You know, it's really sad. And it was also sad on 911 when those Muslims came and killed New Yorkers. And we don't forget that. And right now, the government's in the hands of the communists. But when it gets back into the hands of the American people, we still got a score to settle. We haven't paid back yet. Yeah, you can sing all the kumbayas you want, but we got a score to settle. And we haven't paid back yet. So I'm going to dedicate this to that family that's now broken, hearted and broken. And the only tune I can think of that is apropos is The True Love Ways by Buddy Holly. And here it is. For everybody that's gone through what a lot of people go through.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay.
Quiet, boys.
Just you know why you and I will by and by know true love ways. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love ways. Throughout the day, our true love ways will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just
okay, we're back. I did a quick blog. I shot it out there, and I want you to know about it. Don't let the Yazidi people die on that mountain. Do not let the Yazidi people die on that mountain. They are freezing and starving to death. We beat Saddam. We allowed his Republican Guard to keep their helicopters. The first thing they did was kill Kurds. It was not enough that they used WMDs to kill 5,000 women and children at Halabja, but we stood by and watched. We're great watchers. We're great committee men. We're always organizing a committee to look into this and that. This and that in Arabic is Kaliwali. We're great Kaliwali people. Now 1,000 abandoned Yazidis are trapped on a mountain, just like the Kurds were. Obama won't lift a finger, and soon they will be a stat on the evening news. And the world will say, that is horrible. The mountain is high ground, and a rescue team with a lot of firepower can be inserted overnight to protect the innocent. And then we can assist their evacuation. And when the last child is safely removed, we can go home for Christmas. I honestly believe we need a SEAL team division size. A SEAL team division size. to go anywhere in the world whenever we choose. And that will be our Christmas present to God's children. Do not let them die on that mountain. Get those Yazidi people back. And we can do it. Okay, so what else is happening? Let's see. Thoughts for today. You want to hear what the thoughts for today are? Ah, we encountered a technical issue. There are no thoughts. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, we'll jump to a tune. Here's one. We'll dedicate this to the Ukrainian people who Obama is betraying back to Putin. Oh, holy God. Very nice. Very nice. I saw a picture of a woman in the Ukraine. Not a picture, but a video of a woman in the Ukraine. She was an elderly woman. Probably she had nothing more than the clothes on her back. And she was in a 50s fallout shelter. I think she was in Donetsk. A 50s fallout shelter. And she was saying to the interviewer, I was born into war, and I am leaving in a war. It's terrible, man. It's really terrible. I was looking through a Mike Savage's book, caught my eye. This is The Enemy Within. And this is from page 174. I don't know if anybody accused me of plagiarism. I'll tell you where I got it from. The national teachers' unions, with their bloated leftist agendas, leftist is communist. Left is too nice a word. It's a disarming word because left is a direction. You got a left hand, you got a right hand. Of course, everybody knows that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. The radical national teachers' unions, with their bloated leftist agendas, have overrun local schools and school boards. That's number one. These powerful unions oppose most efforts to teach children independence from government and how to think for themselves. To them, educational success happens whenever activism replaces reading, writing, and arithmetic. I was totally shocked when I saw my kids grow up. They knew nothing of American history, and they knew nothing of geography. Geography. Do you know where Andorra is? Check it out. Do you know the capital of El Salvador? Tegucigalpa? Check it out. To them, educational success happens whenever activism replaces reading, writing, and arithmetic. We've gone from the three R's to the three D's: degeneracy, disorientation, and deconstruction. All of these demonstrators, these Occupy Wall Street crap of people. And I got a picture, I got to tell you, man. If I was black, I'd be ashamed. I'd be ashamed of some of these guys out there. They can believe they're fighting for a black cause. None of them got shirts on. They're looting a store. And you can see the underwear advertisement. And their pants are down below their belly line. I never seen such hideous looking people in my life. Absolutely sickening. And they're burning and looting. That's great. Hey, you know, want to meet my people? I used to get sick when an Irishman disgraced the race. Yeah, we have a race, too. If I see somebody going to jail. I remember, and the Italians are the same way. I remember Joe Pepitone, big Yankee player. He got caught selling drugs. And as they were taking him out of the courthouse in handcuffs, I saw a kid going, "Hey, Joe, you let us down." And he went, "What are you going to do about it?" You know? But nobody of any nationality who has pride in their nationality or their race, nobody wants to see somebody destroy the image, the good image that's built by hardworking people. You know what? I never had a problem with anybody of any color or any language or any race or any religion working side by side, and we were both working together. Work brings us together. We may not live in the same culture, but there are certain things that we all have in common. And the communists don't want us to have anything in common. And they are busting up the greatest nation that our ancestors built. Whether you came here in planes, trains, or in chains, we're all the same. We're American. And we make the most of what we got. And we make the best of what we have. And you can't leave God out of the picture. And you can't walk away from your family. It is really sad. It is really sad. And hard work brings everybody together. Just ask the guys that built the pyramids. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I blame the teachers' union, says Mike Savage. Leading the pack is the National Education Association, NEA, the largest and most powerful teachers' union in the United States with more than 2.7 million members. These obstructionists oppose parental choice through school vouchers and tax credits. There should be vouchers for veterans to go to any hospital. There should be vouchers for kids to go to any school. They oppose genuine abstinence-based sex education. They oppose teacher competency testing. they oppose a moment of silence at the start of the day. When I went to school, I went to Catholic school, only one lay teacher in the entire school. You know how much the school was? Zero. You know why? It burned down. And the parishioners built a new one. And because they raised money to build a new one, they were promised no tuition for their children. That was how the church paid them back. And my friends who were not Catholic or who were Catholic but chose to go to public school, they had a great education. And they were always in competition with the Catholic schools. We used to compare notes, you know. And some things they were better than us at, and some things we were better than they were. But then the public school system went down the drain. And not to say that the Catholic school system didn't take a hit either, because we went from all nuns who took no paycheck. They took a vow of poverty. We went from all nuns to all lay teachers, and all the nuns are gone. Where have all the good people gone? I went to a ceremony tonight. My wife conned me into it. She's bringing me to heaven, whether I want to go or not. And it, you know what today is? Today is the day after Pearl Harbor, the Immaculate Conception. And they venerate the Mother of God. That's what we call her. And the place was full. And our church is usually not full. It was full. I had to park almost on the sidewalk to get in. And I looked around at the people that were in a procession. A Canadian priest had brought down from Canada a relic of a church of Blessed Mother. It was built in 1697 by, I think, the Jesuits, French. And it's on like an island on the St. Lawrence River. And they claimed that there are miracles that are attributable to this statue of the Blessed Mother. I won't tell you because you're interested in the guy that got swallowed by the python. But anyway, it was a beautiful ceremony, and the place was packed, and they did a candle light. Everybody had a candle. They had a blue light. You know, the Blessed Mother's color is blue. And I looked around, and there was some young women there with kids, but they were a minority. The majority were old people and middle to 60s, middle age to 60s. But their faith is unshakable. And I said, you know what? It's like we've been cut off. This is it. Somebody drew a line and said, everybody from this age forward can keep their religion, and anybody that's younger must not be exposed to. And it's really sad. It's really sad because we all can use a spiritual connection, whether you're an Indian on a mountaintop chanting to the Great Spirit, or you're a Buddhist ringing a bell. We all need spirituality. The Muslims, I used to respect that religion. I have no respect for it anymore. I used to be a romantic, a pro-Arab guy. I grew up on pro-Arab musicals. I remember Gordon McGray in the I think it was called The Desert Rose. And the Rifts were the good guys. That was one Arab tribe. And Kismet, the Broadway show Kismet, is beautiful. It's about Baghdad. And written by a couple of Jewish guys. And sung by a Jewish baritone or tenor that I ever heard in my life. And also sung by a Jewish lady. And they sang beautiful songs. The Broadway show was called Kismet. Robert Merrill was the baritone. What a voice. And he used to sing the Star Spangled Banner at every Mets game. Regina, the girl's name, the woman's name was Regina, and I can't remember her last name. And she had a voice. You know, you hear a voice and you imagine that somebody so beautiful because the voice is beautiful. And you get fooled sometimes, but look what God does. You know, you got some shortcomings. He makes it up on the other end. There are people that think they got kids that aren't going to be able to make it, but God gives them something special. And I believe sometimes that some kids that you can't communicate with, there's a special key for a lock. And if you can find that key, that kid will open up to you. So, and I also joke about, you know, God has designed you in a certain way, and he's designed your Prince Charming in a certain way. And one day you will both meet, fall in love, happily ever after. But if you go out and you get a facelift and breast implants, you know, Prince Charming might not recognize you. You know, you might look better, but that he's looking for the one that he was originally assigned to. Okay, let me go back to we're talking about the teachers' union. They oppose English-only initiatives for schools. They oppose teaching creation alongside the theory of evolution. They oppose textbooks that accurately reflect American history and American culture. They oppose any attempt at any ideological balance. Here's my question to the guys that want to bring it all down. When you finally bring it all down and we are lost as a nation, who is going to let you live? Who is going to take you in? Oh, you think you're going to be in charge? Lumpen, what is it? Lumpen, there's a book called Red Cocaine, how the communists back when in the 20s were planning to bring drugs to the United States. Mao Zedong wanted revenge for what the British did to the Chinese with opium. Lumpen Proletariat was the name that was in the book, describing useful idiots. They were called lumpen proletariats, and they're to be used to overthrow governments, and then they're to be liquidated. And that's what all of these bring it down jerks. They have no idea. We need a drafter to come back. We have kids that have nothing to do. They dream of being important. And they cannot stand the test of metal. The draft has to come back. Everybody has to serve the flag. They oppose textbooks that accurately reflect American history and American culture. They oppose any attempt at an ideological balance. They oppose the creation of charter schools. They oppose homeschooling. What more evidence do you need before you come to grips with the fact that they are the enemy within? The renegade socialist union is doing incredible damage to our schools and our students, and worst of all, they're doing it to the blacks. How can you go to school and learn? Two black students are making out, and the teacher can't say anything because they'll beat her up. Huh? How are you going to learn? I went to a Catholic high school. Discipline was the number one ingredient. You didn't get out of hand. You didn't talk back. You didn't. You followed orders. It was in preparation for being a Marine. Yeah, a buddy of mine was in the airborne. and a sergeant recognized his New York accent, a Southern sergeant. And he said, "Oh, you're one of those wise-ass Yankees, huh? From New York? We know how to handle guys like you." And my buddy said, "Do your worst, Sergeant. I've been to Catholic school." He said, "You were? Do you know Mother Eucharistica?" But anyway, they oppose any attempt at ideological balance. They oppose homeschooling. If you're a teacher, you know exactly what I'm saying. Every time you raise your hand to object to a neo-socialist policy of the NEA or question their push for community-operated school-based family clinics, you are ostracized. Especially if you're a conservative educator who happens to wear a cross or a Star of David around your neck. The reign of academic terror by the NEA must stop. Number two, the teaching profession, by and large, has succumbed to postmodern thinking. I'm talking about the far-left ideological rhetoric by dismissing traditional morality. I got to tell you, man, there's a nightmare on the horizon, and it's been on the horizon for at least 20 years. You got a 50% divorce rate. How is that possible, coming from generations who married for life? Okay, the husband was the wage earner, the wife was a financial slave. Now girls are independent, but they're not equal to men. They're not equal to men. In some cases, in some areas, they're superior to men. Men could never have a baby. If men ever suffered labor pains, there would be no sex. Yeah, let me tell you, it would be out. Oh, no. Yeah, women are conditioned. They're mothers. They're conditioned to be mothers. And men are conditioned to be protectors. They protect the family. They're the guy that stands at the front of the cave. So what do you want? What are you looking for? It's not here. Take a walk. Oh, man. So, think about it. Without a moral framework, without some baseline of truth, and without historically accurate facts, how can they teach students to be honorable, responsible, and productive citizens? Just look at the early Romans. I mean, they were debauched. Total debauchery. The things that they did, people don't even imagine today. The things that they did. Unbelievable. And what happened? They got tired of it. They had too much of a good thing. So all of a sudden, the guy starts carrying a cross and he's giving out wafers. And he's talking about the goodness of man and how a guy named Jesus gave up his life so that we could get to heaven. And there's a heaven. They never told the Romans that. Only the gods went to heaven. And all of a sudden, and of course, who did he appeal to? The poorest of the poor. He would have appealed to those Pakistani kids making bricks. In that interview, that documentary, one of the guys was offered a $5,000 for his kidney. One of the workers for the boss, and the boss had a relative who needed a kidney. And he looked at this guy over. He says, "If you give me a kidney, I'll give you $5,000. And they showed the guy, and he had this scar where they removed the kidney, and he never got the money. How's that? You want to live in a world like that? Well, why open the doors and let it happen to you? Why create the atmosphere? I've been fighting these academic crackpots for years. Make that decades. No matter how I try, I feel like I'm shoveling dirt against the tide. Everywhere I turn, liberals are trampling on genuine academic inquiry. They're emasculating our schools and bastardizing our universities." He calls them ninny-iversities. "When it's all said and done, these American-hating, subversive schoolmasters are risking our nation's future by rewriting her past. Now, for those of you with your hat on backwards, Dr. Savage is about to give you the most unbelievable lesson of your lifetime. And he calls it the death of innocence. Do you remember your first day going to kindergarten? Maybe your mom or dad packed a lunch, walked you to the bus stop, and blew kisses as you headed off to school for what was probably the scariest day of your life. Or maybe they drove you to school and held your hand as they introduced you to a class of complete strangers. Turned out it wasn't too bad. You played games, sang about old McDonald's farm, played kickball, which is outlawed. Had snack time with cookies and milk, which is outlawed. You can't sing about old McDonald's farm. That's probably outlawed. The last thing you expect to hear about was sexual orientation and masturbation. Of course, all that has changed. Innocence is out, indoctrination is in, and look what it's doing to our universities. We've got rape counselors. I'm going to school, Mom. Okay, darling, have a good time getting raped. The radical social engineers on the ultra-left, which includes the NEA, has embraced a bizarre, comprehensive, lifelong sex indoctrination curriculum, beginning with kindergartners. The taxpayer-funded Centers for Disease Control commissioned the publication of the Guidelines for Comprehensive Sexuality Education by the Sexuality Information and Educational Council of the United States. You want to hear a sex ed lesson? As teenagers, we were up in a buddy Joe's house, and he had films of the girls doing the nasty, and his mother walked in. And you know what she said? You boys are a bunch of jerks watching a film like that. Why don't you go out and get the real thing? You probably don't know it, but this abominable report is considered the Bible for comprehensive sex education in public schools today. The guidelines are reported to be... There was another episode where in a basement of a guy's house, he was a super. And we had the old 8mm in film. And he had it on a ladder and a screen and a sheet for a screen on the wall. And all of a sudden, the film stopped. The light, everything was dark. We turned on the lights and the camera was gone. So the guy who was the super son, he said, okay, I'm going to turn this light off again. And when I turn it back on, that camera better be there on top of that ladder. So he turned the light off. And then when he turned it back on, the ladder was gone. The more widely recognized and implemented framework for comprehensive sexuality education across the country, it divides a student's sex ed experience into four levels. Level 1, middle childhood, ages 5 through 8. Level 2, pre-adolescence, ages 9 through 12. Level 3, early adolescence, children, ages 12 through 15. And then level 4, adolescence, ages 15 through 18. And here is what the social engineers want to teach your children, starting in kindergarten. The following excerpts are the exact verbiage taken from the SIECUS guide. That's Sex Education, Sexuality Information and Education Council. You would never see this in a Catholic school. A childhood, ages 5 through 8. Vaginal intercourse occurs when a man and woman place the penis inside the vagina. Some men and women are homosexual, which means they will be attracted to and fall in love with someone of the same gender. You would never see that in a Catholic school. Touching and rubbing one's own genitals to feel good is called masturbation. Some boys and girls masturbate and others do not. Both boys and girls, this is 5 through 8, both boys and girls may discover that their bodies feel good when touched. I'd like to know what degenerate thought up those guidelines for sex education, Savage says. Kids at age, need to learn about fair play on the playground, not foreplay in the back seat. They should be singing, "I Want to Hold Your Hand," not "I Want to Hold Your Gland." Things are not much better for the 9 to 12-year-old crowd. I have heard kids in the 5th grade that do BJs in school hallways. I have heard of a girl who told her mother, and I think she was in the 5th grade, that she couldn't hold out much longer because of the peer pressure. So, this is 9 to 12 years old. Sexual intercourse provides pleasure. Homosexual love relationships can be as fulfilling as heterosexual relationships. That's not true. That's not true. They don't last as long, and there are a lot of suicides. Most of the bridge jumpers have homosexual problems. But don't take my word for it. But I'll tell you one thing. In San Francisco, when there was a proposition that the homosexuals were hoping would get passed, and it got defeated, that very night that they... legislation got defeated, they put up suicide nets on the San Francisco Bridge. Illegal abortion is very safe. To what, the body or the mind? Why does a 10-year-old need to know about abortion? She hasn't even learned arithmetic yet. Could it get worse? Sure. We're talking illiberal minds here at work. These degenerates know no boundaries. To further wrap your middle and high school student ages 12 to 15, they're supposed to be taught about bisexuality. It is sad. It is sad. We're becoming a third world nation. Many people say it. I got to tell you, we got to get rid of the communists. And we got to get back to God. And we got to get back to the basics, the Ten Commandments. We got to get back to the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If we don't, we're going to be in trouble. So, let me see what we can sing on the way out. I want to be just like you. Like me. Give you a little Willy Bobo. Close out with Wisdom of a Fool, early 50s.
15651, take 6.
If you're lucky enough to have someone who loves you, then be glad that you've got someone who loves you. 'Cause the lips that were warm grow cool. Listen to the wisdom of a fool. When you take her for heart and you do something to it, and you think to yourself, why did I do it? You may find that the world can be cruel.